Well, we are so thankful and excited to have all of you guys here, and we wanted to be able to give you a brief orientation of what do we do in Christchurch for the Ladies' Fellowship, and what is the Ladies' Fellowship? So that is some of the goals for tonight, is to explain what are our God-given roles, what are we doing through Christchurch, and to introduce ourselves. So you probably know Rachel. She's been part of the church for a very long time, since it started. Heather Longshore is new. It's a long time. Heather Longshore just moved here in November. Yes. And is going to be giving a talk on jumping in as a newbie, since she has firsthand experience with that.
She has real street cred on this.
Yes.
And she's talking at the event about jumping in. That she's jumping in.
That she's jumping in and speaking to you. Yes. All in one fell swoop. And Sarah Mortimer has been here for 13 years? 16 years, part of the community, so which is really exciting. And then I'm Catherine Church, and I grew up here as well, and grew up going to Christ Church back when it was Community Evangelical Fellowship, all the way up. So, welcome. The biggest thing that we do is not to do programs, and then the positive side of that has been the Bible Reading Challenge, and that kind of happened when we threw out a bunch of programs, and all of a sudden it was, what can we do that's practical? And how about we read God's Word? And since that's happened, I think we're in year 5. And that's been a huge, tremendous blessing for us here and also as it spread throughout the world, which has been exciting. So if you aren't part of the Bible Reading Challenge, we would love to invite you to jump in. And there's a Facebook group, Instagram group, the printable outline that you can get online. And we just started the text accountability groups. So if you saw the note about those have been fantastic. And it's just something so simple that you might have a small group and you each send a praise hands or a thumbs up when you've done it that day. And so it's just that little bit of a nudge to remind everybody in the group, oh yeah, let's get our Bible reading done. So if you want to join in on that, I'm going to pass around the sign up sheet and I'll just start it here and we'll lead it through the crowd. Those are the big things that we focus on, but Sarah's going to touch on a few more ways to jump in and how things happen around. Yes. So lots of jumping in. All right, Sarah.
The theme being jump in. Rachel asked me to talk about a couple ways, just simple ways to get connected if you're new here. And that kind of got me reflecting on when I was new here 16 years ago. I now have a driver. And when we first started at Christchurch, he was a baby. He was not even a year old. So time flies. But thinking back to that first Sunday, I think unlike some of you guys who probably researched the area before you showed up here, maybe you listened to a few sermons or you, maybe even visited before you came. We came for a completely different reason and then just ended up in Moscow. And after trying several churches, showed up at Christchurch. So we had no idea what to expect. I remember coming in the back door, and nobody paid a bit of attention to the fact that we were new, which my husband and I laugh about now, because looking back on it, I realized that it was really refreshing to walk into a group of people and see all these folks that were clearly just like enjoying each other. They were passing their kids back and forth. They were laughing. They were talking. And we just snuck in and sat down in the back row, and nobody said a word to us, which I've told this story several times, and it's kind of funny because the church we had gone to right before that, they had pretty much asked us to lead the youth group, but the first Sunday, and my husband said, if anybody needs us that bad, I don't know if we need them. So we moved on. But, looking back on that moment, I think that what really attracted us at the time was just people loving each other and loving their family, loving their people, and getting that big exuberant welcome when we walked in the door was not the thing that made us so excited to be there and want to stick around. There was like an energy in the church that was really encouraging and attractive, and we had little children and we were excited to be a part of it. So if you're one of those people, I would say we're happy to have you. We want you to jump in. It takes a little bit of time to just kind of sense, like, how do I get to know people? This little how do I get to know people? How do I connect? How are people gathering? You know, like, what are the things I can be a part of? And so the first thing, numero uno, is sign up for church emails. And I'm guessing that if you're here, you probably are getting church emails because the announcement for this was on church email. But you're going to want to be able to see, you know, activities as they come up, showers, meal schedules, all that is going to come through church email. Secondly, go ahead and hop on Facebook if you're on Facebook, because we have a Kirker ladies group there. And a lot of the same information that's going to go out in the church emails might be on Kirker ladies, but it might not. And then there might be information in Kirker ladies that you don't see on church emails. So it's nice to be in both. Not everybody's in both, but it is helpful. It's a great way to keep connected. The other thing about the Facebook group that is so helpful is that you can learn names and faces on there. So hop in, you can ask questions, like if you want to know where to get a Christmas tree or how do Moscow people do whatever, you know, you can just pop in and ask a question and we'll try to answer it for you. And then my husband also mentioned the CCB app. If you have time, please hop in there and put your picture in there, because the deacons and the elders will go through and they're kind of learning names and faces as well through the CCB app. So go ahead and put your photo up. The third thing, showers. So when I first came to Christ Church, I remember seeing all these open house showers, and it didn't occur to me till someone had a shower for me that they were open to everybody. Like, anyone could show up to a shower. So those are open house. They're women in the church. They're inviting you to their home. You don't have to know the people. You know, it's not like expected that if you came to a shower that you knew the people that the shower, the woman that the shower was for. They do often have a group gift. And so if you don't have time to shop and you just want to pop a couple dollars into an envelope as a gift, you can do that. It's a really simple way to do it. Another thing is bringing people. Like, you can grab a friend. Like, you don't have to show up. Like, it can be kind of intimidating to show up to someone's house where you've never been to their home. Maybe you don't know very many people. So just bring another new lady or someone that you know along with you. It's a really nice thing to do as just a social event. Another thing, meal signups. So you might have seen meal signups come through church email, or if you're in the Kirker ladies group. Those are not sponsored by the church. Sometimes I think the church office will send one out, but you can create a meal sign up for anybody. It's not like there's an approved group of people that do meal signups. If you see someone who you think might need meals, feel free to go talk to them, and then you can set up a meal train for them. Sometimes if there's I was thinking of different versions of meals. Sometimes you do like a once a week meal or every few day meal sign up. You know, there's not just one way to do it. And I've even done really short meal schedules for people where I didn't even send out an email. I just went and talked to a few people and got meals out that way. So use church email, Facebook. You're invited to all the showers, and feel free to create a meal sign up or be a part of a meal sign up to bless other ladies. And then the last thing is, I organize communion bread for Christ Church. And if you are a bread baker, please come talk to me, because I would love to have more volunteers. So that's it. Thank you.
Okay.
Go for it, Heather.
Okay. Well, thank you, Heather.
Well, hello. Okay. I'm going to move it up. So you can imagine that I'm going to maybe be talking about jumping in, since that's the theme for tonight. As Catherine mentioned, my name is Heather Longshore, and I am married to Jared Longshore. He is the new hire for Christ Church, and his title, which I love, is the chaplain to the refugees. And so, Catherine, you might do this later, but I might do it now. Raise your hand if you have been here for around a year or less. Hi. Hello. So tonight this talk is really going to be directed towards you ladies. I'm sure there's some things that some of you that have been here longer could be encouraged by, but it's mostly directed towards the newbies. So Jared and I have 7 children, and we moved here November 1st from Florida. So we drove 10-day trip all the way out here, and here we are. We have been Floridians our whole lives, so the Pacific Northwest is just a nice new transition for us. And and I'm learning all about the sorrels and bogs and things I've never heard about in my entire life. And it's just been a blast. So anyways, since we're walking through being new to the community, most of my encouragement tonight, like I said, is pointed in the direction of all the newer ladies. And we are over the moon about being here and jumping in with both feet. So I figured I would take the jumping in as my theme, because it's everyone's theme tonight. Christchurch and the Moscow community are a bit like a rushing stream of faith, work, and blessings. Many people look from afar and think, I'd like to check that out. And when you get here, you say, sure looks fun, and boy, that water really is moving. So my aim tonight is to say, you didn't come here to stand on the riverbank. Just jump on in. So here's three encouragements as you do. The first one is to just give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The journey out west has never been an easy one. That's just a historical fact. I actually stole that from Rachel. Okay. Maybe your car broke down on the first day of your trek out here and you had the unforeseen purchase of a new vehicle. Or you have been more sick in the last 3 months than you have been in the last 30 years. Raise your hand. Or you're wondering where the sun has gone. You know? Okay. If we were to give thanks in everything, then in all of those difficulties, we're supposed to give thanks too. They have come from our loving God's hands and are for our good. In addition to those difficulties, there are all sorts of straightforward blessings to give thanks to God for. This community is uniquely blessed. We have a faithful church, God-honoring worship at the center of everything, healthy doctrine and teaching that is on fire in practical ways, strong families, wonderful education, growing business, and a witness that even the broader world outside of Moscow and Idaho notices. For the newcomers, well, here you are. I've heard that Nate Wilson once remarked, baskets of fruit are heavy. So if your arms are straining a bit, just remember what's in the basket. But there's a weird temptation, but it's a very real one, and that is to be glum after God gives you the blessing that you've asked for. And well, don't fall into that one. Jared and I have a godly old friend back in Florida with the last name Bucher. He's near retirement now with many stories of sacrifice and success. He tells a story about entering law school. He was a bit intimidated and went in asking the Lord, Lord, if you could just get me through making C's, that would be fantastic. Well, he made all A's. Then he gets accepted into an elite lawyer association at the school. Within the association, there's a top three upper crust leadership team. And of course, he made that cut too. Then he went to compete for the number one spot among the three. And after putting his heart into it, he did not get the number one spot. He says he was all out of sorts about it on the way back to his apartment. His wife noticed. After a while, she saw that the sulk was going a little too far, and she says to him, Bucher, you ask the Lord for C's. The Lord has blessed us, giving probably all of us more than we have asked for, and definitely more than we deserve, so we can give thanks. The second is working willingly with your hands. Proverbs 31:13 says, she seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Many newcomers were working very hard wherever they came from. Several of you showed great hospitality to the saints. You served your church. You may have been involved in education efforts. You likely poured yourself out in a variety of relationships, be they family or friends. It can be quite tough to be uprooted from all that dominion back there. You were building something. You may have even been in a rhythm with it, and you can feel that the structure you were building is back there, and here you are, starting back at square one. Not to mention there's a good chance half of your tools or pantry items wouldn't fit on the U-Haul. So, whatever are you to do now? Well, you're just to get down to it. Again, the reinforcements theme that you have heard about really is a good one. God seems to be bringing people here who have toiled well in other corners of the kingdom. And there's no sense in looking back on all your hard work and sitting on your hands here. Your work back there was not in vain. You served the very same kingdom you will serve here. Don't be overwhelmed of the size and maturity of the community. Rejoice in that and jump into the work without begrudging it. This work is closely related to friendship. C.S. Lewis speaks of friendship as something that occurs side by side more than face to face. The idea is that friends are linked together shoulder to shoulder in a glorious work. So working with our hands and making friends will likely flourish or wither together. So newcomers might be wondering, where in the world should they begin the work? It can be like arriving when Nehemiah was halfway through the Jerusalem rebuild. There's people going all directions. The whole thing is a bit noisy, and you're not sure who is who. As you take a season to get oriented, there seems to be a good bit of wisdom in serving your husband, then family, and then adding that basic hospitality to Kirkers. There will be judgment calls to make given your various circumstances and opportunities, but husband, family, hospitality is a good pattern. Can keep you with a full plate as you get oriented, and will keep things from getting off kilter as you start to lay down roots here. The third is to laugh in faith at the time to come. Proverbs 31:25 says, "Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come." Some translations say she laughs at the time to come. This God-fearing woman can rejoice and laugh at the future, for she's trusting God and working diligently in obedience to him. New people in the community may have traveled here, leaving certain forms of stability behind, like relationships, family, jobs, or reputation. It's easy to give into anxiety in such times. If you're seeing the sin of anxiety arise, thank God for showing it to you, and then repent of it, remembering that the call to not be anxious is not grounded in your stability of relationships, reputation, and the like. Philippians 4:5 says, "The Lord is at hand, be anxious for nothing." So things are different, but not God. The location is different, but the Lord is here. Same God, same Christ, same forgiveness through his blood, same Holy Spirit to help you. None of those things have changed, so you can laugh at the time to come. And then jump into the things that are right in front of you. When you know you will rejoice in the time to come, you're freed up to live in the here and now. And getting right into the work God has for us is the safeguard to the various ditches we might fall into. So that's my encouragement. Just jump right in to the work of dominion going all over here in Moscow and at Christ Church. And as you do, give thanks, work willingly with your hands, and laugh at the time to come.
Way to go, Heather. I do love that we asked her to do that, and she was willing to do it. Just jumping in. I mean, it's proof she's qualified to speak about it. Ladies, it is always a privilege to gather together with you all and talk about what we're doing, what we're trying to do, what we're trying to be doing in Moscow, what our goals are, and what we're aiming for. With so many new people, there's a lot of onboarding people to what the vision is, and sometimes we just need to come back around and revisit it again. Like, what's the point? What are the ladies in the church trying to do? So that we can evaluate if we're being successful or not. What are we even trying to do? It has been such a privilege to work alongside of so many of you, and I am very thankful for all of you and honored to serve God alongside of you. I know when we were talking about this, I talked with Sarah quite a bit about, we were just talking about the community, about things that we need to explain, and I think it made us both stop in a lot of gratitude for the strength of women in our community, how easy it is to send out a meal sign up and get 2 weeks of meals for someone, and how easy it is to say you run into someone at carpool and they're like, "Oh no, I have that. I'll send that over to you." Or like how much business is done and how many women are helping each other. That's such a blessing. What a blessing your faithfulness has been and will be. And to all of you, which turns out to be a large percentage of the ladies here tonight who are just joining us in this community, you are especially welcome. We are thankful for your presence here. We're thankful for all of the growing pains that causes. And we want you to know exactly what you are to this community and to this church, which is an answer to years of prayers. We are so thankful to see you here. We have prayed for reformation and revival for as long as I can remember. And when we had the Grace Agenda in 2017, celebrating 500 years since the Reformation, we talked about those women of the Reformation who seemed almost superhuman in their work and their faithfulness at that time. As we prayed for Reformation and revival then, it seemed almost fantasy-like, didn't it? Some kind of imaginary world where there was so much cultural upheaval and things happening. It seemed like, oh, Lord, that was really neat what you did then, but hard to imagine something like that happening in our time. That was only five years ago now. And at that time, we could not even imagine how God would shake our own world in the immediate future. Like what was coming right ahead of us, God was about to shake our own world in an extraordinary way. That conference 5 years ago led us to start the Bible Reading Challenge. There were a lot of different threads going on that all sort of pulled together into the Bible Reading Challenge. But the central thing that we realized, and the reason that the Bible Reading Challenge is the overwhelming focus of the women's ministry, is that women need the Word of God. Women don't need us to get them together. In fact, I think it happened at a Ladies Fellowship Steering Committee that there was this sort of open question of, what do the women need from us? Right? Like, what should we do that the women need? And we were like, not us. I mean, like, they need something, but surely it's not us doing something. We need God's word. In all of our praying for Reformation and revival, I think that I still at least believed in an unspoken way, because I would have probably known it wasn't true if I had looked straight at it, that God would send Reformation and revival, and it would just sort of come upon us, and then people would turn to the word. Right? That the Spirit would make us read the Word. Now, of course, that can happen. Of course, the Spirit can make people read the Word. But at the same time, if you open up your Bible, the Spirit is in the Word, right? If we begin reading the Bible, then what we're immediately confronted with lots of mini revivals and mini reformations. Because every time you're reading the Word, you are submitting yourself to the Spirit, to the power of the Word, to give you a revival, to convict you of sin, to cause reformation in your own heart. The other wonderful benefit is that when you make your focus trying to get women to read the word, there are actually things you can do. If your focus is to ask the Spirit to do something without you, right? If your focus is to say, Lord, please just suddenly change the circumstances, there's not a lot of to do, right? If I pray one day, Lord, help me to love this particular child in a tangible way, I will immediately know 12 things I could do, right? You immediately know the work that you could do. But if you're praying for something that you have no handles on, there's nothing that you can honor God in your, I'm asking for this from you, and I'm doing this in faith that you will act. The Bible Reading Challenge has been a huge gift to us in giving us tangible things to do and things to focus on to get women in the Word. And the amazing thing is that women in the Word, being in the Word, is a million times more fruitful and productive than any other thing we could have ever thought up to try to do. We joked for a while, it's almost as if God wants women to be reading his word. It's almost like the Spirit is in this endeavor of trying to encourage people to do it. The goal of the BRC was simple enough. We wanted the women in our own local churches to be spiritually encouraged in their own homes, to know that you have what it takes in your own home to be being matured in Christ, to be fed, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, spiritually strengthened, and all of this while you go about your own duties. We want women in our church community to understand that you already have all that you need, and you have that without any special mentorship programs, without organized childcare for coffee hours, without someone else doing lots of special things for you. Now, do we have anything against any of that? No, we don't have anything against someone having you over for coffee or someone taking care of your children. But the temptation for women to believe that you need something else to get you spiritually strengthened, you need someone else to provide something to get you encouraged or feeling like you can do your job, when what you have as God's word is more than sufficient. And as we've been encouraging women to do that, what we have seen is an unbelievable strengthening of women, a disproportionate strengthening of women. We've seen way more women feeling qualified to counsel people. And you know why they feel qualified? Because they happen to know, I just read this in the Bible, right? Like, I know what I'm talking about. I am actually equipped to tell you, no, God says this, you know, or this is what happened. We've seen wonderful wonderful fruit from that. So while we began this because we believed it to be true, we have only been more and more convicted that this must continue to be our emphasis. Our emphasis must be on individual women in the Word, and women being in the Word is how God equips them for the good works that He has prepared for them, which is very diverse, right? And many of those good works are going to be towards other people in the community, but God is equipping you for those things in His Word. So you will have noticed that our church does not have many women's ministry activities. So few women's ministry activities that we have to have a ladies' fellowship event to tell you that we don't have events, right? We have to explain ourselves. For a church the size of our church community, this is actually a shocking lack. Right? It is. Especially for those of you who are new here, it may feel very weird. Like, why can I not just, like, how do I easily plug in? And there are lots of ways. The other ladies talked about some of those ways you can plug in. But it is not actually because we have just not gotten around to it. It's not like, oh, nobody's picked up the ball and done this. There is more to it than that. We have seen that there is way more strength in the body, functioning as the body of independent, faithful Christian women doing their own duties, than there is in sort of having a headquarters down approach to someone's going to make this decision that the women need this. It's a very healthy and strong way for the women of the church to be going about their work. The reality is that we do not have these programs because we are after a different kind of fruit. Most churches this size have a very busy women's ministry, but our church seems to just have busy women, right? We have something has happened there. In fact, so I left my house. When we scheduled this, we didn't realize it was Knights Fest happening. So that's a week of all weeks for us to have scheduled this. I left my house with so many teenagers baking so many different kinds of cakes in my kitchen all at the same time. It's like, good luck to you all. I'm off. There's so many things happening all the time. We don't desire to create a women's group that will essentially help us all gather around looking at each other, right? We're not looking for a face-to-face. Obviously, we have no trouble with face-to-face interaction. But we're not looking for we're not trying to build a community that is inward-facing, gazing at ourselves, talking about how we feel and trying to meet each other's emotional needs. We're specifically not trying to do that. That's because we do not want a ministry to the women. Okay, I have to explain this. We do believe that there is a central ministry, and that's worship. That it's the ministry of the Word and Sacrament, and it is for women as well as for men. Women do not need a different way to be spiritually edified than what God has actually established for all of His people, for the whole body. So I'm not trying to minimize the fact that we all need the ministry of the Word and Sacrament that we're going to Sunday. But we do not want a ministry to the women. We want the ministry of women. Women shoulder to shoulder, facing the world, pursuing Christ. I liked that Sarah just brought in, I was laughing at that. I was like, in what church do you mention meal plans as an activity? Like, you'll love to jump on and start making meals for other people. And yet it is an activity. It's a thing that we love to do together. This is a way that we together serve the church body together. We are not going about this the way that most churches do go about doing this. This is different. But this is because we're actually interested in the kind of fruit that most churches are not producing. Okay? We want something from the women of our churches that is completely different and that is not something that is at every normal church this size, right? There's something that we want that I don't think can just be found for throwing women's programs. Okay, going back to thinking about the Reformation, I do believe one of the central reasons that those women were able to accomplish what they accomplished, and God used them so tremendously, changing the course of civilization forever, right? That their work was so important to so much of civilization is because those women were already all in for God. Right, these were women who had already given up. Many of the wives of the great reformers, were former nuns. They'd already renounced the world and all of their possessions. They'd already gone to a convent. They were already getting up in the middle of the night every night to do special prayer services. So you can see why God thought it would be a good idea to take women like that and give them homes and give them kitchens and children and husbands. Like, he took women who were so ready to serve and pour themselves out, and he gave them so much more to serve with. And those things that he gave them to serve with, we all have. Right? We have those things. Not all of those things, but we have access to all of those things. How many good works could the Lord prepare for women like that to walk in? How many things could they do and accomplish? So when I look out at a group like this, I'm not seeing the makings of a lot of church programs. What I do see is a room that is full of older women. And older women and the makings of older women. And all of us, every woman in the church, whether you would like the counsel of a woman older than you still, every one of us is an older woman to women in the church. And we want all of us to be living as faithful examples, teaching the younger, those women who are younger than us, by our examples, to love our homes and our husbands and our children, and to be pursuing good things and practicing hospitality. We should be teaching the younger women what it looks like to be all in for Jesus in our homes with these tools, with everything we have. Back to the Bible reading challenge, that was one of the funny things, is thinking, if I can use stupid emoticons to get someone encouraged to read their Bible, well, I'm a gonna. Like, I am gonna be in here all day with hearts and praise hands, because if God will let us use silly things like that to build his kingdom, why not? Why shouldn't we all be using that? God has not put us here in such a historically important time while he shakes the world down so that we might have a nice time of leisure, right? That's not what we're doing here. Imagine what would have happened if those women of the Reformation, instead of throwing themselves into the work, if they wanted a already ready community of like-minded believers to just enjoy doing life with. Right? I'm here for the experience of just doing life with like-minded people. I know that they enjoyed doing life, but it was the life of serving Christ that is different than the self-serving enjoyment life of leisure. In many ways, moving to Moscow or living in Moscow as part of this community is, as Heather said, going west to settle the land. Not like moving to a city where you're going to go join the appropriate country clubs that you would like to join. You're coming to a place where we're trying to build something, where we're trying to build a Christian civilization here. By God's grace, we are 50 years into building Christian community here in this town. And my goodness, are we not done yet, right? 50 years into it, by God's grace, we will get to lay down our own lives for the next generation to build on. We're not resting. We're not done. We have so much work before us. So when I look out into this room, I see so many homes represented, so many kitchens, mothers of hundreds of children who need to be taught and disciplined and loved. I should say, I spoke at Knights Fest this morning, and I think I have 40 different girls in the secondary in a talk that I was supposed to be giving about homemaking. And I asked them how many of them wanted to be homemakers, and every hand went up in the room. And I said, and how many of you have told people when they ask you what you want to be when you grow up, that you want to be homemakers? Lots of them. They were all laughing, like, oh, that's so funny when that happens. Like, they were all in for that. And I was, again, filled with gratitude at the mothers that were represented in that group. How many mothers have given their daughters, those younger women, a good example of what it means to serve God in your home, and that they have daughters who think that's an admirable calling and that's something that they would like to do. So I see women out here who take meals to the needy, host baby showers for each other, go to baby showers for people they don't know, introduce themselves awkwardly at gatherings, pray for and encourage one another. I see women out here with incredible strength, reminiscent of that beautiful statement, "Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, and terrible as an army with banners?" That's what women do. It's a terrifying thing when women are strong. I see the wives of many men who are working daily to take dominion, to plant flags for King Jesus in their workplaces, in their homes, in Moscow. We have between us all a tremendous amount of work to do, but by God's grace and through his word, we are equipped to do it. To his glory, we carry on with our work and our duties. To his glory, we want to be increasingly faithful in our reading of the word, in our applying of it, in our encouraging one another to be in the word. We want to be, as a group, pursuing Christ with our whole hearts. We want to be challenging each other on the way too, not simply coddling our own or other people's weaknesses. I said earlier that you new women were an answer to our prayers, and you are, but there is more to those prayers. We didn't ask God to bring you here so you could retire. We have asked God to make much of himself here, and we have asked him to use us in all of our little efforts. All of Christ, for all of life, for all of Moscow. We need you, and we need all of you, and we need more than all of us to accomplish the work here in this town that we are confident God has prepared in advance for us. We need you because we are still praying for reformation. We see, I like to think it's the cloud the size of a man's fist, right? We see it coming, and we believe it, and we see signs. We know God is answering our prayers, but we also know he is not done. It is our prayer that God is only beginning the work that he has planned here. It is our prayer that as we focus on taking dominion of the work that God has laid before us, starting as local as possible with the attitudes of our own hearts, working out in circles from there, honoring God in our marriages and our relationships as we raise our children to glorify God, as we open our homes to one another, and as we ask the Lord to give us hunger and thirst for his word, as we confront one another and pray for one another and find ways that we can serve the body, it is our prayer that God will use our lives, all of them together, as the body, to change the world. It is our privilege to see so much fruit already from what God has done in our midst, and it is our prayer and hope that we will live to see much more. He has already done exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations and forever and ever, and amen.